This podcast is brought to you by Northern Motor Group. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome to the Football Revolution, hosted by Gio, Jules and PK.
Welcome back to the show. Here in the Football Revolution Players Lounge, we're lucky enough to have former Melbourne City, Central Coast Mariners, Championship, Premiership winning player, Josh Rose.
G'day, Josh. Welcome to the Football Revolution. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm going good. Thanks, guys.
So, mate, can we kick off by asking, what nickname do you go by?
Oh, I think everyone just knows me as Rosie.
Can't we come up with something more creative than that we can get you to use when you're playing in the over 35s?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure they'll think of something over time.
Standard Aussie response, though. We just chuck an E on the end of every name and it pretty much sorts it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us about your funniest football story or experience.
Oh, funniest football experience.
One that won't get you into trouble with the boys involved.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sitting in the car with my wife and kids. So.
Oh, it's a G rating.
No, I don't know. I've probably got too many. Played with Daniel McBreen, so it was a barrel of laughs every day almost.
Absolute joker, isn't he? So, yep. We'll get him on the show soon enough.
Yeah.
So, mate, so that we make sure that you don't sleep on the couch tonight, we'll pass over that one. But favourite current A-League player?
Favourite current A-League player? I suppose the easy one to say would be Honda. He's having a great season. If I was going to go an Aussie, not sure, to be honest. I think probably the form that Troisi's in at the moment as well is Victory. He's good to watch, but also with Perth Glory, young Economides has been quite exciting lately. So I'd probably have to say him if I'm going to go an Australian.
I'll tell you what, I like your top three, though. Honda, yeah. Troisi, great selection, Economides. Yeah. Not a bad attacking selection there.
And all from my Victory. So it's not a setup. What A-League team do you support? You obviously played for Melbourne City and also for the Mariners. Do you have an alliance or do you kind of have a foot in a couple of camps?
Yeah, look, obviously I've got the close connection with the Mariners and we still reside on the Central Coast. So I've still got a lot of support for that club. It means a lot to me still. But, you know, City as well, I've spent time there, spent a year there, and I think every club you play for, you respect a little bit. And I was quite close with young Lockie Wales before he left. So it's good to see him carving it up for them at the moment and, you know, doing well. So I do follow them quite closely at the moment, still with him there.
Is there any other team in the league that you think you would have fit in well at?
I don't know. I'm good friends with Liam Reddy. He says Perth's quite good. Probably would have fit in there. It's just too far away. Yeah. I don't know about that travel every week.
It's a good place to be now, though.
Yeah, no, they're going great. It's good to see, actually. It's good shake-up for the league. You know, I think Perth have been sort of pushing that limit for a few years now. And, you know, with that good squad, they just haven't been able to crack it. But I think with Popper there, he's brought a lot of stability. And now they're looking really good.
They seem to check in a few goals into the baggage these days when they're travelling now.
Yeah, that's the main thing. It's probably the hardest thing for teams like Perth and Wellington. They're always hard to beat at home, but it's that, you know, the travel that sort of gets to them. But, you know, if they can pick points up on the road, then they're flying.
Mate, you'd be most qualified to answer this, Josh. So when they keep saying it's hard to travel, isn't it the same distance for other teams to travel there?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, that's why they pick up a lot of points at home normally. So the travel for them and then to do it weekly, you know, sometimes a few trips on the road at a time. And
it's a big ask when things aren't going well for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. It sort of makes it even that little bit harder and makes it harder being away from family and things like that when things aren't going well.
Without alienating any former teammates, worst roommate on away trips?
Worst roommate? I don't know. Oh, no, actually, I will say when I was at City, I had Neil Kilkenny. He's the worst snorer ever.
I can sympathise with you, mate.
You had to try and get to sleep before him. If you didn't, you're in big trouble.
We're wondering why you struggled on some of the away games you played, mate, so it makes sense now.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe that's why they shipped him off to Perth.
Yeah, I think so.
Imagine being on the plane with him then.
Probably still hearing from there.
Yeah, I know.
One word family and friends would use to describe you?
Hopefully loyal, I'd say. yeah, family and friends are pretty close to me. So
I know, yeah, the Mariners said dependable.
That's my one. Yeah, always guarantee a strong performance from Josh Rose.
Oh yeah, I'll take that.
Well, we're offering it, so maybe, you can have it. All
maybe,
three.
Maybe they just meant that for the first 3 or 4 years.
Not at all, mate. I think you're talking yourself down too much. Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I've got 2 brothers and 2 sisters.
Any of them involved in football?
Nah, not really. They just played for sort of club football. They still all reside in Rockhampton and play a bit of club football and do a mess about there.
They were part of the Josh Rose development program. You just kept ripping them every afternoon.
Yeah, pretty much. I was the youngest brother, so probably helped with that development. Yeah.
What reality TV show would you go on?
I always say to my missus I'd do well on Survivor, so I'd love to give that a crack.
Mate, if you saw my notes, that was my notes. Yeah, I put on here that if he couldn't come up with one, I would have nominated him for Survivor. So if you get a call in the next few months, it was from us. All right, it was our gift to you.
No worries, I'll take it.
What do you reckon the hardest part of that would be for you?
Probably being away from my boys, to be honest.
Yeah, hit the nail on the head, I think.
The problem is, though, is you go into the show with a pretty gnarly beard. Most of the guys grow up while they're there.
Yeah, that's all right.
Name one thing that you do that really annoys your wife.
Oh, one thing?
Mate, if you like I said, if you want to end up on the couch, you can name as many as you like, or maybe this is a good chance for you to make peace here.
I think it's the banter, the constant banter. I've raised my 3 boys to sort of cop that dressing room banter, and it's one thing she said when I retire or when I was in the off season, I'd always be bantering around at home because I didn't have it in the dressing room, and it just annoys the hell out of her.
So
and
is
now
that
my
accelerated?
Boys do it all the time, so it's great.
That must be up there now with you missing it a little bit more.
Yeah, it's just constant, and she loves it.
We love it too. We'll put it in the calendar. We'll get the 3 Rose Boys on at a later date.
Yeah, it sounds good.
What meal would you cook if you were trying to impress someone? So in this case, if you're trying to dig yourself out of trouble with your wife.
Uber Eats isn't a meal.
Yeah, I'd probably just cook a good spaghetti bowl, I think. Nice and simple.
So dependable.
Quite simple.
Look at him. He's
I know.
Back to basics.
Yeah, I know. The very safe carbs and protein all
Beautiful.
In one.
Yeah.
If you could trade places with anyone in the world, who would it be?
I don't know. I follow Richard Branson a bit. I reckon he lives a pretty good life.
He'd go all right, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Look at that. So the beardy's looking after himself there. He's just trading it into a ginger.
I never expected that. Yeah, to be honest, when we asked this question, I never expected that. But
we get some
I can
answers.
See why. Yeah, I can definitely see why.
I could pick up his lifestyle. That's pretty good.
And the last question, just before we start moving on to some serious football, name the last person you would want to be seated next to in a long-haul flight.
Well, probably Neil Kilkenny. He's going to fall asleep. Neil Kilkenny or Daniel McBrien, because you'd have to listen to his Falkirk stories all day.
Oh, maybe you'll over.
Well, I reckon that'd be the last person they want on the plane full stop, Kilkenny, because they keep the whole plane awake.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was the end of the questions, just to give you a bit of a warm-up and a bit of a stretch before we get into some serious stuff, Josh. So, PK, what do you got in the line of questioning of his junior football?
Yeah, so, Josh, you played 3 seasons with the Brisbane Strikers, and then you obviously, first season in the A-League, had a season with the New Zealand Knights. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it was one of them things. I was in the Strikers in the NSL, and then we sort of had that break where I went back to the State League in Queensland, and thought I did quite well, but yeah, just for whatever reason, didn't really get picked up from any A-League clubs in Australia. So New Zealand Knights was about the only team left with spaces left. So I had to send myself over there and go for a trial, and lucky enough, I got picked up. Yeah, obviously it didn't turn out the way I wanted, but it's one of those learning blocks, I think, that you sort of learn and live and learn and move on.
Yeah, no, look, absolutely. And I think your next career move was off to Romania, where you played 3 seasons actually at University of Craiova. I hope I pronounced that right, but I hope that was a good attempt.
Better than me.
Better than Gio.
I was impressed there.
Yeah. So tell us about how that came about, firstly, the experience, and what did the Rockhampton boy miss from home?
Yeah, actually, it's funny. I was talking about this the other day, and it was one of them things with New Zealand Knights. I actually had a 2-year contract, and after that first year, I was just wasn't feeling it, and everyone's advice was stay there, you got a guaranteed contract. But me being me, I was like, nah, I can't do it, you know, if it doesn't feel right, I got to get out. So I actually took a step back and asked to get out of my contract, went back to the Queensland State League and just started enjoying my football again. And I think that's through another friend, Michael Baird. He was over in Romania, and he just gave me a call and said, would you be keen to come over and check it out? And be honest, I didn't really have anything on the table. No A-League club wanted to take a chance on me, and it was sort of one of those last-ditch efforts that worked out really well because, it opened up my eyes to a completely new world of football, really, that East European crazy culture for football. Really opened my eyes up and made me realise, you know, how grateful I was to be playing it for a living. So, yeah, I think it really pushed me to that next level.
Yeah, no, certainly. And tell us about the standard. I mean, you played in the A-League for a few years now. So what was the standard like in comparison to playing Romania?
Yeah, I think it's probably about the same standard, I'd say. It's just, it's difficult because, you know, you've got, I think it was 18 teams in the top league, and you go away and you play at the top teams like Steaua and Dinamo, and obviously it's very intimidating. But then you've got the lower level teams where you've got to travel on a bus almost like 11 hours sometimes to get to their pitch, and they're out in little country towns on a terrible pitch, and they're just terrible to play at their home ground. You know, they're so hard to play against, and I think it's just such a mental side of it to get through at times. But technically I think Romanians are very good. They probably just lacked a bit of heart at times, which I think is why they loved us Aussies so much, because what we lacked in the technical side, we gave in the effort side. So I think it sort of was a good mix with us and the Romanians in the team.
How'd you go with the language barriers?
Oh, I picked it up eventually.
On your last day?
I think the best thing for me, probably be on my second year in, I think. I ended up starting rooming with a Romanian boy who did not speak much English at all, so we just sort of taught each other. He'd just point at things and say in Romanian, and I'd say it in English, and we'd teach each other, and I think that was probably the when I picked up most of it.
So was his nickname Teacup?
No, I ended up getting stuck with him, actually, because no one wanted a roomie. Actually, come to think of it, he probably takes over Killer as the worst roomie.
That's what I was going to say, mate. You just seem to have the worst luck with roommates.
Yeah, I just get pulled with the people that no one wants because they know I won't complain. I'll just deal with it.
I have the same problem with co-hosts, mate, so don't worry. I feel sorry for you, Josh.
Yeah.
Tell us about, so obviously you came back from Romania. You played a bit of time in the NPL in Queensland, and you became 2010 Arnie's first or second signing for what ended up being probably your most successful stint in your career to date. Tell us about that, playing at the Mariners, your first stint.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to sort of come back, and I think Laurie McKinnon was still in charge at the time, so he showed a bit of interest and then died down a little bit once... It got found out that he was leaving and Arnie was coming in. So died down a little bit, and then Arnie did a bit of research and figured out that I'd still fit the style that he wanted to play. So I ended up getting across the line, and I didn't know too much about Arnie other than what I'd read and things like that. And I rang a few boys that had dealt with him, and to be honest, they were all like, nah, he's a great guy. He's quality. You'll do really well under him. And I think that was good. I just went in with positive mindset, and He was really good for me in the end.
Yeah, it was a big payoff, you know, wasn't it?
Yeah, he knows how to get the best out of people. His style suited me really well, and I just really enjoyed my football. And yeah, it was a good, successful couple of years.
Well, there's not a lot of players that can say they're coached by their current Socceroos coach. So I think, mate, no one can ever take that away from you. So, you know, you've won a grand final, you've lost one, but playing for current Socceroos coach, no one can take that away from you. And only you in this room has had that luxury. So,
and tell us.
Yeah, he's top quality. I'm glad to see where he is now. He's definitely put in the effort. He worked very hard, and it's good to see. Now doing well.
He seems like he's able to turn the cranky on and off. Is he a bit of a laughter, good joke around when the season's off or when the heat's
turned in? Yeah, I don't know. I think that's just a bit of a show to the media and stuff. Honestly, like you'll ask the majority of players, and his goal to be around in the change rooms and the dressing room and stuff. His man management is very good. He's got that persona, I think, to the media and things like that. But, you know, for players, I think you couldn't feel more comfortable around someone, to be honest.
Yeah. No, look, you know, he's proven himself as one of the best A-League coaches, and he's certainly got the right reward now being the Socceroos coach. So, no, certainly understand that. Tell us about, are you still playing today? Are you still playing at Edgeworth, or you hung up the boots?
Yeah, I still went back last year, and once I retired from the A-League. And to be honest, after a few years I'd had, I wasn't really sure if I wanted to keep playing. But, yeah, the call come from Zaney at Edgeworth, and Macca was there, obviously. So I thought I'd just go and give it a go. To be honest, I drink too much beer to not do anything, so I thought I'd just keep having a run. And to be honest, it was the best thing I did. It was a really, really good group of boys. I started to really enjoy my football again, and had a great time, to be honest. So yeah, I've agreed to go and have another run with them this year, and yeah, keep ticking over. It's good, I think. It's just really enjoying it again. So
how did Macca
go back to that level and do well?
How did Macca greet you back at the club there when you got to be back with the Pest?
He was fine. He just said, I'm taking all the money off him now.
let's move into a few more general questions, mate. So you have three boys. Do they all play football?
Yeah, they all play football, yeah.
And which one of the boys would you least want to play against?
Probably all of them, to be fair.
They got that rose streak in them, huh?
they've all got something different. They're all a bit different, which I like. Yeah, they're all annoying players from what I see.
Well, sounds like they've got good banter. They've had that.
They're good value. I'm getting them used to, making sure they're ready for a dressing room if they do ever make it. So that's the main thing, I think.
Which one of them most plays like you?
Probably the eldest one, Joy, I reckon.
So it just comes with time. So there's still time for the other two.
Yeah, the middle one's very, Dylan's very unorthodox. I don't think he's like me at all. He's more that Tommy Rogic style. You're not sure what he's going to do, but he'll pull out something decent at times. And then, I think Nate, the little one, is probably more similar to Joy and myself as well.
Well, they're definitely players for us to keep an eye out for. So how do you split the teams in the backyard game?
Oh, it's always Joy and Dylan versus me and the little one, Nate.
Is that standard, is it?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Who usually wins?
Me and Nate have started winning a few lately.
Have you been throwing many matches?
Oh, yeah, I had to throw them early on, but not anymore.
until they pick up on it, right, and then you cop it even worse.
Yeah, they hate losing, I tell you right now.
It's a worrying thing when you've got to try a bit harder and harder to make sure you don't get beaten yourself too badly.
Yeah, now it's almost maximum effort, just so they know that Dad's still got a little bit, and then, yeah, soon it's going to be no good.
It's a bit unfair, though, that you've got to have a 15-minute warm-up just so you can think about having a stretch out with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Mate, you need to start worrying when one of them approaches you, like my little fella, and says, Dad, can we wear shin pads today? I was like, no, mate, that's not a great idea. It's supposed to be a friendly. Right? Yeah, when Dad plays mate. Son, it's a friendly.
No, I got worried the other day. My eldest one's 10 years old, and normally when I go down the soccer field, it's always, that's Josh Rose's son. The other day I was walking past a group of kids and I coughed, that's Joy Rose's dad. And I'm like, no, it's changed.
It's gone. It's gone.
Oh, no. Oh, it's a sad day.
Mate, it's a quick fall, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a long fall.
It is. And I'm like, I didn't know whether to be sad or proud.
No, deep down, mate, you would have been loving it. Mate, tell us a little bit about Rose Football Academy.
It's just something, obviously, like we just spoke about, my boys are all quite into their football and quite good. So it's just something I've enjoyed doing is working with them and developing kids ever since I was sort of 20 years old. So I've always enjoyed it. And I just thought that, the Central Coast probably needed something a little bit different. And I just wanted to try and provide that, I think.
It's a fantastic football hub there at the Central Coast. Do you find, though, that with your experience, you've got to adapt the coaching a little bit to maybe get them ready for A-League style play as opposed to the other styles that you've come across in your footballing career?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
we seem to have to develop a lot more athletic ability.
Yeah, so we'll add a bit of a aspect to our program next year with the kids with a lot of the speed and agility sort of explosiveness to them and help build up their bodies so we can train them that little bit harder and they can handle the load without breaking down. So, it's a lot to it. I like to keep the sessions very high intensity, high standards, high levels and things like that all the time and just try and drive that respect side of it and things like that. But at the same time, I make sure that the kids understand there's always going to be setbacks, and that football's not the be-all and end-all at all times, and it is to be enjoyed as well.
That's a great attitude.
Yeah, I'd say the boys at the academy are in very safe hands with you.
Yeah, no, like, I love it. It's really good. And, you know, the first sort of few weeks, there were a few parents coming and saying, oh, some of the boys are struggling with the increase in intensity and the standards and that sort of thing. So yeah, that sort of helped me introduce a lot of the positive mindset type stuff into the kids, keeping journals and just teaching them a few things that works throughout my career to help them sort of stay positive at times and stuff like that. So over the last few weeks, that's worked really well, and you know, it's something I'll continue on with them.
How did you cope? So you were with the Central Coast, and they're, as I said, a massive football hub and really loyal fans, and then you've also experienced Melbourne, and Melbourne puts their hands up pretty quickly as being the football capital for Australia. How was the difference in the two locations where you were playing for?
Yeah, I think they're very different. I think Melbourne's got, you know, so many different cultures, and their football's just crazy in Melbourne, I think. Where Central Coast is a big football hub, there's no doubt about that, I think. But at the moment, it's a lot more relaxed attitude, things like that. So, yeah, I'm probably trying to bring a little bit of that Melbourne attitude, or even the Sydney attitude, because I know a lot of kids on the coast travel to try and get that sort of high intensity, higher standard sort of coaching and training. So
kids have been travelling from the coast for years. I played juniors with some of the kids that were Central Coast based. So I know there's that demand. And if you're bringing that in through your academy, that can only mean great things for the football talent that's growing up there.
Yeah, definitely. So that was one of the big things. And obviously it all comes back to my boys. And I just, you know, you look at the programs out there, and maybe I thought that they probably weren't as good as what I expected them to be. So I thought, you know, who better to do it than may as well put my hand up and get it going. And yeah, but to be honest, I've got Adam Kwasnik on board. He comes and coaches them, and he's quality with the kids, and he's got that experience as well. So it's good
another coasty boy.
Good people involved as well. Yeah, another coasty boy as well. So he knows what it takes.
When you have that football black book, use it.
Yeah, exactly.
What teammate or opponent do you rate the most?
Teammate, I think, you know, there's been a lot over time, but I remember in one of the All-Stars camps, I was in there with Marcelo Kuruska, and he was quality to just, yeah, watch on the ball. And but not just that, off the field as well. He's such a nice guy. He's polite. He's, you know, he's humble, and he's just an all-round good guy. And then on the field, he's just incredible to watch.
And what about opponent? Hardest opponent you played?
You know, I think I had some good battles with Marco Rojas over the few years. It was always good. Him and Barbarousis were very, very good, very hard to play against. And I think they're the sort of players that sort of help lift your game when you need to. So they're the ones, I think, that sort of help you develop, I think.
They're always at you, those guys, and they've got some pace to burn when they take you on too.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, as far as opponents go, it was always good to play against them, and you know you're up for a long 90 minutes some night.
I was hoping you would say that, because I've watched a couple of ding-dong battles between you and Rojas, so I was hoping that you would, and you came good with that one.
Just a couple of questions before we wrap up there, Josh. What's one thing you enjoy doing away from football?
Away from football, just like relaxing, going to the beach with the boys, just chilling, watching movies at home, a bit of gardening. Just, yeah, chilling.
A bit of gardening.
Old man stuff.
I was gonna say.
Old man stuff now. I like keeping the lawns tidy. Oh,
you've got your grass, haven't you?
Yeah.
Mate,
yeah.
You're only 36. No, not 86. Gardening, lawn bowls.
Mate, he's protecting his patch of lawn.
The lawn bowls will start next. I think the barefoot bowls have already started.
You can have a couple of beers. You can have a couple of beers. That's why it's good.
If you could change one decision in your career, what would it be?
I'm not sure. That's a tough one, because every decision sort of panned out, or I learned something from it. So I'm not sure.
That's the perfect answer.
At the time,
I think I probably thought to myself, what have I done here? But yeah, at the end of that journey or that period, then, you know, something good has always seemed to come out of it. So it probably wouldn't change anything.
Mate, you've got a great attitude.
He lands on his feet every time.
That's right. He's got motivational speaking in the background too. He's all over it. Triple threat.
And the final question, Josh, are you the biggest influence on your career to date?
I'm not sure. Probably just going through from a few junior coaches. The first ever coach that I had when I was younger was Dennis Jeffries in Rockhampton, and he was someone who always sort of believed in me and pushed me to go that little bit further. So he'd be probably that biggest influence from that younger age. But then probably when I, you know, first come to the Mariners and played under Arnie, he was a massive influence as well as to what I did for that sort of period in that time. And even now with a lot of coaching that I do, it's based on a lot of the stuff, how he man-managed, and I just relate that to the kids. So, yeah, he's been a massive influence on what I do now.
Do I hear the sounds of managing in the future?
Well, yeah, like obviously I love it. I'm really enjoying working with the kids at the moment, but at the same time I'm sort of progressing through and doing my licences, and yeah, I'd love to probably coach at that really high youth elite level.
Well, I just got to check. Have a look out your window. Is there a flare being shot up out of the Blue Tongue Stadium looking for a new coach yet? The Mariners are struggling
from the sauce bottle.
Yeah, I'm definitely not taking on that yet.
Not at the moment. Besides, you've got a great football brain. I'd like to push you into coaching just so you get away from the bowls and all the other old man stuff you're trying to do. You're too young for that, mate.
Yeah, that's right.
And I just have one final one, so I'm going to supersede you here, PK. What advice would you give to young players trying to make it in the game, or what do you tell the kids in your academy?
The main thing is I tell them that there's always going to be setbacks no matter what. So just be ready for them. I'm trying to build them up to be resilient and just stay positive through the setbacks. And, you know, when good things do happen, when they're doing great, then just stay humble and just, you know, appreciate the effort that you've put in to get there.
Great advice. And I just have to thank you on behalf of the show. It's been tremendous to have a chat with you tonight.
Championship winner.
Yep. I think we're very lucky to get you on here, and football's very lucky to have you still being part of it and looking after our next generation. So keep going along, and hopefully we'll stay in touch, and never know, we'll see how your first managerial start goes and get you back into the A-League soon.
We might be able to go up for a beer or two.
Yeah, not a problem, boys.
We always need a big cold one. Thanks very much,
Josh. Thanks for being on the show, Josh.
No worries, boys. I'll speak to you soon.
That's a wrap of our interview with Josh Rose. As you can hear, he's giving back to the game still to this day.